don't know that you know. I'm going to give you the information so that you do. You know how the Bible talks about Jesus Christ was led into the Mount of Temptation by the Spirit, and he met the devil up there, Satan, and he told him how he had power. And yet when Jesus Christ dies, is buried, is resurrects, he says, all power is given unto me. There's that saying, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, unless you and yourself are absolute. The only being that could manage power, pure power, is God, because he's pure. And the revelation of Jesus Christ demonstrates that. Power tends to get to people's head, amen? So Antichrist is going to see it's one person thinks he's absolute, one is absolute. One thinks he's Christ, and the other is Christ. One thinks he's God, the other is God. Amen? Antichrist. The church knows. So let's look at this, a series of things as we go through these verses. Some of them don't try to turn and keep up unless you want to and you can. But listen, 1 John. The word Antichrist is found 5 times in the Bible. All by John. In 1 John and 2 John. John is a type of the church. The church knows. That's my premise. Some things you may not agree with. For the most part, there's a consensus of what we're going to go over today. You may have a different opinion at the conclusion, but I'm going to give you mine. My name happens to be John. Look in 1 John chapter 2. Now here's the first 3 times you find the word Antichrist. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. So that the topic of Antichrist emerges. It's coffee discussion. It's in the church. There's an excitement. Not because of the Antichrist coming, but because who's coming for us before the Antichrist coming. Little children, it's the last time. And as ye have heard, I mean, I've been saved over 40 years, and I've never been so anticipating of the return of Jesus Christ as I am now. Ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now, so shall come in the future. Antichrist shall come even now. So he brings a future and a present application. Even now, there are many Antichrists. So you see the single, and you see the plural. And as you go through this, look at verse number 19. Whereby we know that it is the last time. So there's going to be an increase of people counterfeiting Jesus Christ as time goes on. But he's showing you that we're going to see that throughout history there's always been Antichrist. There's one in particular. So there's plural and there's singular. The embodiment of all that Antichrist is will be found some point in time in the future in a single individual. That Antichrist shall come, and even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is last time. They went out from us. Now you see how he said the many? Look at the plural. They went out from us. Now what he's doing is he's alluding to the common ground of Antichrist in betraying the common faith of Christianity. Now, just because there's a lot of stuff out there, I'll give you my opinion on stuff. You put it together yourself. But he's not anti-Buddha. He's not anti-Mohammed. He's not anti-Gandhi. He's not anti-Muslim. He's anti-Christ. He's anti-Christ. Okay? So they went out from us. So there is a rejection of the Bible-believing faith once delivered to the saints that involves the Judeo-Christian beliefs of the Old and New Testament. They went out from us. So he's alluding to, you'll see here, the betrayal. In particular, there was one person that betrayed the apostles and the others didn't. Who was it? It was Judas Iscariot. But they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. That they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. The church knows. The Holy Spirit wants us to know. Amen. I'm not going to tell you the name of the Antichrist, but I'm going to identify Antichrist. The church knows. At least I'll give you the information and then my opinion based on the information. Now look at it in 1 John chapter 4. Who's writing it? John. The only one that writes it. Type of the church. The church knows. Beloved, believe not every spirit. You know there's more than one spirit in the world? There's devils. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirit. Whether they are of God. They're not all of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We're going to see the false prophet in Revelation, one in particular. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. See the capital S? That's God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that has to the deity of Jesus Christ, the incarnation, the uniqueness of God becoming a man. Why did God become a man? Not to earn his godhood status. Became a man because he is God. He saw the plight of man. In order to save man, God had to become a man to die for man's sins. That's what he did. This is the uniqueness of our faith. No other founder of a religion ever did that for their people. You die for them. He died for you. The difference. Isn't that wonderful? And so he says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh is not of God. So it's a denial of the deity of Christ and the uniqueness of who he is. That's the spirit of Antichrist. And this is that, now look what he said, this is that spirit of Antichrist. So this is why people say that Antichrist is a system. It's a cultural, spiritual, you know, concoction. And they don't recognize it. Yes, it involves a system, the spirit of Antichrist. But it's also an individual. It's embodied in one singular man, Antichrist. The church knows. Whereby ye have heard that it should come. And even now, already, is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than, now look what he says right here, than he that is in the world. It's an individual. It's going to be the embodiment of Satan in human form. Just like Jesus is the embodiment of God in human form. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The church knows. Antichrist. The church knows. Look at it in 2 John. The last time you find it. The fifth and last time. 2 John, which is right after 1 John. Should be easy to find. Verse number 7. Many deceivers are entered into the world. Those are people that are lying to you, trying to persuade you to believe a lie. Many, a seducing spirit, beguiling, you know, unwitting souls. For many deceivers are entered into the world. Jesus Christ warns in the last days, there'll be many deceivers saying they're Christ. See, they're not saying they're Muhammad. They're saying they're Christ. You understand? Because there's that thing out there that the Antichrist is Muslim. No, he's not. He's going to say it. Amen? We'll go through the verses. And are into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. It's his deity. It's his incarnation. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. So there's many Antichrists. There's a system. The spirit of Antichrist. There's an individual. Antichrist. The church knows. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Don't be deceived. The church knows. Is that Each one of the three passages indicate to me that the church knows. When we saw the first instance of Antichrist, there's an allusion to betraying what was revealed to them. Look at this in John chapter 13. You know how many times Jesus Christ says, one of you is going to betray me? One of you is going to betray me? They're not all of us. As a matter of fact, look in John chapter 6. First time you find the mention, betrayal. John chapter 6, verse 60. And it involves the topic of bread. Just put it in your backlog. It involves the topic of bread and Christ's body. John chapter 6, verse 60. Just interesting. Many therefore of his disciples, because he said he was the bread of life. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, when he said some were of us, they were not all us, they were mixed within us, and they left. See? So there's a departure, there's a forsaking of the faith once delivered to the saints. The Antichrist is going to be Jewish. He's a Christ that they're still looking for. The Jews do not accept Jesus as the Christ. When Jesus, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who could hear it? Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured, and he said, doth this offend you? He was speaking spiritually. They were taking something literal that he was saying about his body being bread. Verse 63, it's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. But there are some of you that believe not, verse 64. And the end of verse 64, Jesus knew who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except for given him of my father. So many of the disciples, they went back. That's what John is talking about. They're antichrist. They don't understand what he's talking about. They're not willing to confess him. Now, Simon Peter says in verse 69, we believe that and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the profession God wants from all of us. They don't understand it yet, but that's the profession. You're God. We know you're God. I mean, we think we know you're God, but we know you're God when we witness the resurrection. Jesus answered and said unto them, John chapter 6, verse 70. Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? 12 and one is what? Mr. 13. 13 and 6. Pretty odd combination of numbers. If you're going to be superstitious, and I'm not suggesting that you are, but if you are, 6 and 13 are good reason to be superstitious. Friday the 13th is way more, viable than Friday the 12th. Friday's the sixth day of the week. Anyways, he spake of, who was he speaking of? Judas Iscariot. How many letters in his name? Mr. 13. The son of Simon, for he it is. Now he's showing, we're going to see something about the betrayal of Judas Iscariot. And it goes deeper, which I'm not getting into today, but with some teachings go deeper. My objective is to show you and demonstrate Judas Iscariot believed that the Messiah would fulfill certain conditions, and he had preconditions of what he expected. There was a political and a religious agenda that was already typed out if he's the Messiah. Jesus Christ didn't fulfill him, so he betrayed him with the priest and with Caesar, because we have no king but Caesar. See what I'm saying? This is what's going on here. And so now look at it in chapter 13. Now here's Jesus Christ, chapter 13. And they get ready to have a foot washing. They have the Lord's Supper, verse 2. Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hand, and he says, you're not, verse 10, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywhere, and you're clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Judas Iscariot. Therefore said he, you're not all clean. Now, there's 12 apostles, and he just washes their feet, and he says, you're not all clean. I mean, I just finished wiping all your feet in humility, but you're not all clean. One of you is going to betray me. Looking at verse number 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom Jesus spake. Now, I think I mentioned it on Thursday or whatever. You have 12 apostles. Who would you vote would betray Jesus Christ? They're all saying, Is it me? Maybe there's a little bit of Judas in all of us, right? They're all looking one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. We know who that is with other references. It's John, type of the church. The only one that talks about Antichrist. The church knows. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him. He said, John, ask him who it is. Maybe he'll tell you privately. I don't want to be embarrassed in case it's me. That he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith, and he's really close to him, and he's just, you know, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, the church knows. He it is to whom I shall give a sop. That's the sorry sop. When I have dipped it, and when he hath dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, Mr. 13, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. So that's the first thing I want to point out to you. Say, what's that? The church knows. So let's look at some verses about what the church knows that you may not know at this point in time, but that's the purpose of this message. First of all, the word antichrist means opposing or against. You're anti-something. You're against it. You're opposing, right? Now, look at this in, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. But anti just doesn't mean you're opposing something. It can also mean you're counterfeiting something. It's the opposite of. Amen? It's in place of. You got to get this. Jesus Christ said, the world cannot hate you. Me it hateth, because I testify of the works thereof that they're evil of the world. Didn't he? Here's how one of the ways you know that the Antichrist is going to be a Jew. Because who does Satan hate? The Jews. So in order to bait them, he comes as a sheep in wolf's clothing. He comes as a Jew. And then he tries to destroy the Jews. He's not Muslim. The world doesn't hate Muslims. The hatred of the world is against Jews and Christian, God's people. That's who it is. You understand that? So not only is it opposing, it's the opposite of. Look at it in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Just get this part over with the thing. Okay, look at this. Look at verse 13. Let no man deceive you by any means. This is written to the Christians. Listen, man, Antichrist, you know. The church knows. He had just spoken to them about being caught up and caught away before God's wrath is outpoured in the previous book. Now they're doubting it, and they're worried, and they're concerned, and they're questioning. He said, listen, you're not going to be here. Come on. Amen? But you know. We know. And so he says, who opposeth an for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Now look what he says. And that man of sin. There's one of them. There's one man in particular that's going to be revealed as the son of perdition. Satan incarnate. The counterfeit of God incarnate. Now look at this. Who opposeth? There's anti. Opposing, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God. So Antichrist involves opposing God, God's people, opposing Jesus Christ, denying Jesus Christ, and counterfeiting Jesus Christ. He wants to be worshipped as God. That's the objective. Amen? It's important you see that. So did you get that point? So that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God. What temple is that? It's Jewish. He doesn't go to Medina or Mecca and sit in their enshrined temples, you know, their mosque. It's Jewish. This is Jewish. There are those that call them themselves Jews, and they're not. Now, here's the thing. There's a belief among the Muslim world, which is a huge population, of what's called the Mahdi, the 12th Imam. It's a Messiah figure. It's somewhat of a Muhammad successor of sorts. He is an Antichrist, but he's not Antichrist. How do you know? The church knows. Because it's not against, the spirit of Antichrist isn't against Muslims. It's against Jews, Christians. From the Jerusalem temple and anti-Semites, anti-Christians, you have ISIS and Iran. They're all against Christianity and Judaism and Jesus Christ. They're not against the Jesus Christ of Christianity because he's the only way to heaven. What I'm suggesting to you is that the concept of a Muslim Antichrist who is accepted by the Jews as their Christ is a copycat. Amen? It's a copycat copy. There should be many Christs. Amen? Now let's look at something else. Look in Revelation chapter number 13. I told you there was plural, there were singulars, there was past. Throughout history, there's been all kinds of antichrists. People that hated the Jews and wanted to be worshipped as God in a leadership role. And it always merges political with religious. Always. Always. God's kingdom is a political kingdom and a religious kingdom. It's the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, and they merge in Jesus Christ. That's what you see happening with Antichrist. Look at Revelation chapter number 13. Revelation 13. Now, I want you to see that it's a system and it's also a man. Revelation 13. As I stood upon the sand of the sea, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. That's the world. We went through and did a study recently on the times of the Gentiles. The world, it's going to unite. The world, we see it happening. But we know. Say, what is it? It's Antichrist. We know what's going on. A hatred and anger for this book. Contrary to this book. God's people bother Satan. They bother him. He doesn't like you. Because you know Jesus Christ. And because you know him. You know the system of this world. And you know there's an individual that's going to embody all the personal character traits that are identified of Antichrist. And it's going to be in a man. Now you see it in verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. And a deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. So you have this beast is a reference to the Antichrist. Who's going to be killed. He's going to have a mortal head wound. And he's resurrected. Now, we're not going to be here when this happens. But what you need to recognize is that the Antichrist is counterfeiting Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ was killed and he resurrected. And he's a man, not just a system. Look in verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it's the number of a what? Of a man. His number is 666. Now, this is the political arm of Antichrist. Look at the religious. Look in verse number 11. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lion, and he spake as a dragon, exercised all the powers of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He doeth great signs, wonders, signs, so on and so forth. So you have a political arm, you have a religious arm, and they merge together. The version of the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. And what he does is he influences the world to worship Antichrist. Denying Christ, not confessing Christ, and confessing, believe it or not, Satan is God. You say that's what's going to happen? The Bible says, I came in another name and you don't believe me. Somebody's going to come in their own name and you're going to believe him. Antichrist. That's what the Bible says over there in the book of Isaiah, that the time's coming when they're going to call darkness light, light darkness good, evil evil good. And it's going to come to the point where people are going to look at Jesus Christ as evil, as God of the Bible, as a bad God. And do as thy wilt is really the whole of the law. Say, that's satanic law. Do as thou wilt. Now, so he's gonna counterfeit Jesus Christ, and you'll see this. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, we saw in 1 John that there was a spirit of Antichrist. That spirit is the spirit of Satan, it's the spirit of the world, and it's the spirit of the flesh, the old versus the new. That's why we're drawn to the bad, to the iniquity, to the lawlessness, to the sinfulness, to the denial, to the not thy will, but my will be done. The flesh is drawn to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's the spirit of the world. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world. That's the spirit of Antichrist. But the spirit which is of God. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. The spirit of Antichrist rules and leads by fear. The world is afraid right now. You should not be afraid of the world. That's the spirit of Antichrist. That's how he rules. Look at it in Ephesians chapter 2. Do you not sense the oppression, the pressure, that you better do this or else? You better keep your mouth shut about Jesus Christ and the Bible? They don't make praying to Allah against the law in public schools. They're protected, and they can do their little thing with all their things they kneel on, amen? Christianity doesn't have that same legal protection. Look at it in 2 Corinthians chapter number Ephesians rather, chapter number 2. The spirit of Antichrist, it's the spirit of the world. Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It's the spirit of Satan. The Bible says the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. And so you'll see in the world all these hidden, elements of Antichrist. They just pop up, and it's like, backmasking. You ever hear of it? Where they're worshiping Satan when you play tapes backwards? Costumes and lyrics. And you can't be successful in rock music if you don't have a song about Satan. Amen? Because their rock is not the same as our rock. Antichrist. The church knows. Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for long, long years. Stole millions man's soul and faith. And I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain. Made damn sure that Pilate washed his hands and sealed his fate. The Rolling Stone. We got another Rolling Stone, amen? We got rock music to sing about. Our Savior is a rock. Glory to God. Politically correct and religious acceptance is something that the devil will pressure the world into cowering and kowtowing to. Christians don't give way. Amen? Don't give way. There's only one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. That's a compromise. Don't confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He and he alone is the only way to be saved. Antichrist, we know. We understand what's going on. You say, what's that? It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's in the world. It works at unbelievers by Satan. And our flesh is prone to cowering, to submitting. Amen? So now, when we read in Revelation 13, there's a surge to merge the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God in a counterfeit. Amen? And you have one that is the head. Another word for head is pontiff. Uniting the religious and the political. Now, when Satan unites the world kingdoms, he's so subtle. Look at it in 2 Corinthians 11. Have you ever heard of the New World Order? Well, what's wrong with that if we all just get together? I mean, if America, China, and Russia, and Iran, if we just got together and just made Christianity and Judaism illegal, we could all get together. We'd all have a good time. That's what the New World Order is about. You ever hear of the Great Reset? See, there's many antichrists. It's an attempt after an attempt after an attempt. You ever hear of the New Age movement? That's the religious arm of it. You ever hear of the New Apostolic Reformation? That's the religious arm of it. They merge, 2 Corinthians 11:14, and it appears appealing if you don't know your Bible. 2 Corinthians 11:14. If you have a political or religious leader that isn't born again, it's Antichrist. It's Antichrist. That's why you have all this filth coming in the church. That's why you got this all this tranny and homosexual and prosperity with money and love. That, it's all coming in the church. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of darkness. He doesn't approach you, brethren, with a pointed tail and a goatee and, you know, red eyes, you know what I mean? Pointed ears, and his skin is, you know, scarlet. He approaches you as a nice guy. Somebody that uses words like peace, so on and so forth. Now look at this, or listen to me as I turn to it. The first world dictator, these heads, was a man called Nimrod. We know what's going on. Nimrod is the man that founded a land called Babel, in a place called Shem. Babylon is in Iraq, which is called, the area is called Shinar. And one of its capital cities, religious city, is Asher, Assyria. In Genesis chapter 10, we know, the church knows. The church knows that Antichrist is a system and an individual that hates God and yet counterfeits God, that hates Christ and yet counterfeits Christ, that hates Christianity and Jews yet counterfeits Christianity and Jews. Genesis chapter number 10, verse 6. The church knows. And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, they get off the ark. The sons of Cush, Seba, and Havilah, and Sabta. And then it says, and Cush begat Nimrod, in Genesis 10. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Now that's not, he's a mighty hunter in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says to have no other gods, what? Before me. The church knows. And when God tells you to have no other gods before you, he gives you a stipulation and an additional commandment so that you could recognize what he's talking about. Look at it in Exodus chapter 20. Or listen, and I'll turn to it. No other gods before me has to do with preeminence. And the way it's done is through idols. Idols. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Idols. The church knows. 1 John says, you know, stay away from idols. He ends with it, or 2 John. Look at it in Revelation, Exodus chapter 20. The second commandment is not to have idols. There's a major denomination that, and I'm not here to bash Catholicism, I'm an ex-Catholic, amen? But I know. The church knows. You cannot hold hands with Rome. You can with Catholics that believe this book, because I know some. You can't hold hands with Roman Catholicism. You can't. What, they do not have the commandment, thou shalt not, Exodus 20, verse 3 and 4. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, number one. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that, those are idols. When he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, the second commandment furthers that, demonstrating what he's talking about. So he's talking about idols. Idols. Look at this in Zechariah 11. The church knows. Idols are plagued. They're all over the world in all the religions. Not in Christianity and not in Judaism. But they are with Antichrist. The church knows. We love to make God out of people. We love to make God out of things. There's only one God. He's not a people, he's not a thing, other than the fact he became a people and a holy thing when he was conceived in Mary's womb. He's God manifest in the flesh. Genesis chapter, where? Zechariah 11. It's in there somewhere. Let's see if I can find it. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Look at this. How many pieces of silver did Judas Iscariot betray Jesus Christ for? That's the cost of redeeming a slave. Somebody that is a servant to sin is said to be basically in bondage. That's what you were before you were saved. 30 pieces of silver. And he went, when he betrayed Jesus Christ, do thou quickly. He goes and he talks to the religious people. Listen, I thought he was the Messiah, you know, but the political thought, ambition, he's not conquering Rome. He's not about that all. He's talking about God dying on a cross. I don't know what he's about. What will you give me to betray him? 30 pieces of silver. And then after he betrays Christ and he's crucified, he takes those 30 pieces of silver and he throws them where? In the temple, not in a mosque. It's Jewish. Look at it in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me, this is a prophecy of the betrayal of Christ. Give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized out of them. And they took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter's house. That's what they did with Judas Iscariot, 30 pieces of silver. He took it, he threw it at the temple. That's what he betrayed Christ for. Now, when Antichrist comes, he deceives Jews by doing two things. He allows them to rebuild their temple. That's what they want to do. Is Israel a country again? Is Jerusalem their capital? What's missing? The temple. Whoever comes and allows them to build that temple is a candidate as a fulfillment of the prophecy of their coming Messiah. And then he will politically and religiously set them free. See that's what's going on. So the way they'll do it is with the temple and with signs and wonders. What do Jews require? Jews require signs. And so look at 2 Thessalonians 2. So you have the beast and the false prophet. He has all kinds of signs and wonders. So this began with the Pentecostal movement, early 1900s, becoming and apostatizing even deeper into the charismatic movement, apostatizing even deeper in the union of the East and West ecumenical movement, bringing in the Kundalini spirit, which means serpent. That's why people, they're doing all this concoction that takes over their bodies. It's not of God, brother. It's not. Amen? The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You tell me when God takes control of your body to keep you from saying something bad, looking at something bad, or doing something bad, or thinking something bad. Never. He doesn't take away your freedom. Whom the Son makes free shall be free indeed. It's a surrender in love, responding to his love, not wanting to grieve the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's what it is. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Antichrist. The church knows, brother, it's all around us. We've got it, Antichrist. The church knows. It's already here. We've gone through other things. It's affected and infected the church. It wants a denial of Christ. There's another way. No, there isn't. We can't let down our guard. In order to do that, you got to close this book because this is your guard. He tells us, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Verse 7, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And there's debate on what this interpretation is. I don't want to get into it. Only he who now letteth, somebody's preventing the mystery of iniquity from being revealed. He who now letteth will let till be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked Satan someday is going to be revealed in the body of a man, the son of perdition. Look back at verse number 3. They're coming a falling away, and that man of sin be revealed. The son of perdition. It's going to happen. You've got the Wehrmacht oath of loyalty to Adolf Hitler. Because Adolf Hitler could not bring in the one world government before the Second World War had come to a conclusion, without uniting with religion. What religion did he unite with? Anybody know? The Catholic Church. I swear to God, this is the loyalty to Adolf Hitler. I swear to God, this holy oath, that I shall render unconditional obedience to the leader of the German Reich and people, Adolf Hitler. What does Adolf mean? What's it mean? Wolf. There's some going to come to you, wolf, in sheep's clothing. So you throw the word God in there once in a while. That will silence stupid Christians. No. We're not stupid Christians. Not in this church. Antichrist, the church knows. Adolf Hitler, supreme commander of the armed forces, and that as a brave soldier, I shall at all times be prepared to give my life for this oath. When the oath became law in 1935, civilian officials would swear a similar oath. So they got. You got to understand what's going on, brother. There's a deception going on over and over, and it just doesn't pummel. It subtly brainwashes. Do whatever you want. There's people, I see it all the time, they drive, they walk outside by themselves, nobody around them, wearing a mask. Why? That's brainwashing. That's somebody who has successfully been brainwashed. That your own oxygen could cause you to get sick. You got a problem that a mask isn't going to solve. And yet you see it happen. It's an illustration, an indication. It's brainwashing. You know, you have these tribes in Africa where it's really attractive for women to have long necks. I don't know if it has to do with the giraffes or whatever. But they wear rings around their neck, and then they wear another ring, and then they wear another ring, and then they wear another ring. It's like, wow, what a hot chick. I want her. And that's how they think. Amen? For you and I, what are you, crazy? They've been conditioned to think that way. You know how we're being conditioned to think? The world has been conditioned to think that we came from monkeys. Yes. Yes, you have. People believe that because they've been taught that since pre-K. You came from a monkey. Don't even think about it anymore. Okay, I guess I came from a monkey. Why? Because you said so? And we're warned about this counterfeit holy trinity in the book of Revelation, where you have a false prophet and you have a false Christ, and you have a false, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the beast. And the Bible says out of their mouth come spirits like unclean frogs. Let me tell you something, brother. Antichrist, the church knows. We're not polywogs, glory to God. We're sheep. At least I am, amen. Now, this is what's going on in the world. Let's look at this. I'll show you that at the very end, amen. You've got something called, anybody ever hear of gematria? Gematria is the numerical value of a name. Look at Revelation 13. We know, the church knows. Revelation 13. The number of Antichrist is what? See, the church knows. Now, you got all these people, the queen just died. Now, Prince Charles, royalty, coming from Europe, so on and so forth. He's a male, he's royal, he's from the European, the Roman Empire extended. So maybe he's the Antichrist. And guess what? His name adds up to 666. You can make anybody's name. Here's an example. You know, they had Adolf Hitler. Now, believe me, Adolf Hitler was an Antichrist. But he was not Antichrist. Say why? Because we're still here. He's dead and gone. Amen? People believe Ronald Wilson Reagan was Antichrist. Why? Because his name adds up to 666. You could use all the different... You could do the same thing with Prince Charles. You could do the same... They did it with Obama. Of course, I would, think about it. But no matter what the case may be, you can't make it fit. Although, the church knows Antichrist. If the Antichrist is in fact the Antichrist, his name will have a numeric value of 666. I would suggest to you, look in Revelation chapter, you saw Revelation 13. The number of a man, his number is 600, 3 score and 6. And you look in Revelation 19. See, in verse 16, here comes Christ. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The name was a title. He's going to counterfeit that. And this is what, this is gematria. You got to be careful. You got the, you ever hear the UPC code? It's got 18 lines. And it's divided into three sections. It always has the beginning, the middle, and the end. They're always the same lines. Oh my God, you can't buy anything at the store because of the UPC. Everything you buy has 666 on it. Yes, it does. Amen. Oh, you can't have the monster drink. You know, because it's got the Hebrew letters right there, which it's not joined, they're separate, it's 666. And every monster drink says, release the beast. See how you begin to get superstitious? Amen. You got to watch out for that. You got the chrome symbol. You know, you got the upside down Luciferian symbol. You know, you got the Disney Channel symbols, and you got the Heineken beer. And I'm not denying that they're not. 666 hasn't infiltrated our system, because it has. But gematria in Genesis Revelation 13, we recognize that a name can be a title, and whoever Antichrist is, it's going to add up to 666. Now, this is my opinion. You take it for whatever it's worth. Antichrist, the church knows. There's a religion and there's a government, and they unite. One of them is going to give way to the other, and I'm going to tell you which one it is. It's in Revelation 17. So what numeric values have to do with the name is you take the letter, and you equate the value of that letter with a numeric value, and it's going to add to 666. This is my opinion. You take it for what it's worth. Revelation 17. Something happens in the tribulation. We're not going to be here. The Antichrist is killed. He has a mortal head wound. He rises again. In the middle of tribulation, Satan's kicked out of heaven. The spirit comes down. The body is here. The bottomless pit opens up, and out comes the son of perdition. Body, soul, spirit. You have a false resurrection. It's a counterfeit. He's Antichrist. And what? It's Trinity. And what he causes people to do is worship him. And you want to know how people and why people are going to worship him? It's in Revelation chapter number 13. And I'll show you this. He's a liar. This is the lie. Antichrist. We're told he was a liar in 1 John 4. Satan's a liar from the beginning. They shall believe a lie. You know what the lie is? Ye shall be as gods. You know what Satan wants to be? I will be like God, and if you follow me, ye shall be as gods. Look at the trade-off. Look at this. Revelation, where did I say turn? Revelation 17. Look at Revelation 17. One of them wins. Look at this. Revelation 17. Look at it in verse 10. Revelation 17. Verse number 12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet. This is coming. They have one mind and give their power and strength unto the beast. They make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he's Lord of lords and King of kings. Verse 16, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So you've got the political arm of Antichrist going against the religious arm and claiming to be God. And you write down Zechariah chapter 5, because that's where they go. Zechariah 5 is Babylon, the land of Shinar. Some unfinished business has to take place. He sees a woman, and he sees wickedness right there in the end times. This is the lie, that ye shall be gods. There's more than one way to heaven, isn't there? Jesus Christ says more than once. Now look at it, turn to John chapter 17. That is the title, the official title to the office of the Pope, whose name is still called Caesar, I think, in the Eastern Orthodox Church. We have no king but Caesar. Rome collapsed as an empire and became a spiritual entity. That's what's going to happen in the tribulation. The world empire is going to merge, and it's going to cede to the religious, because what does Satan want more than anything? Worship. That's what he wants from you and me more than anything. Look at Revelation, or John. Did I say John? John 17. Look at it. John 17. I'm going to show you two or three more places and we'll call it quits. So what does he do? After he dies and resurrects, the false prophet gives life, makes an image, and gives life to that image. Idolatry is one of the Ten Commandments. Not in the Catholic Church. It isn't. Not with the Muslims. It isn't. Not with the Buddhists. It isn't. You see them? And on John chapter 17, where does he say, where does he call him Holy Father? Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. What's he called God? That's the only time you find it in the Bible. What head? Pontiff. Head. Who's the head of our church? It ain't me, brother. It's Jesus Christ. There's somebody that claims to be the head of the universal ecumenical church. That's what Catholic means, universal. The church knows. Come on, brother, we got to call it out what it is. Catholics aren't evil. The Roman Catholic Church is. It's a counterfeit of God's church. Amen. Revelation 17, you read it yourself. You can't mistake it. Their colors are red and purple. They have a golden cup. The betrayal of Judas Iscariot started with bread being the body of Jesus Christ. You can't miss it. Amen. Pontiff means head. Holy Father. Only one person is called that. God Almighty is. He said, Holy Father, and he says, you said it, verse 11, was it?
Yes.
Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, they may be one as we are. And only one, he says, I kept them in thy name that thou gave me, but none of them is lost but the son of perdition. Judas Iscariot, Mr. 13. The Spirit's coming back again. You say, what is it? Spirit of Antichrist. It's like, you know, man, these Christians and Jews, they don't have the right concept of bringing peace on earth. We've got to unite. We can do this. Silence that voice. Make another alternative to Jesus Christ. Deny Christ and accept the Antichrist. So what do? They make an image. They give a light. They give life to the image. And it's not a true life. Now you could read in Daniel 8. I'm just going to turn you to this and we'll be closing up. Daniel chapter number 8. Daniel 8, Daniel 11, and 1 John 4. And then we'll be closing. Those three places. You know, you got all these people that it could be, so on and so forth. Martin Luther said nothing else than the kingdom of Babylon and the very Christ. For who is the man of sin and the son of perdition? But he was teaching, and his ordinances increase the sin and perdition. Why can't people put on the front page Catholic priests that are guilty of pedophilia by the thousands? It sickens me. Because that's what exists. It's perverted, and yet it's not perverted. And you got a preacher that falls into sin. And I'm never going to justify it. It's wrong. Messes with, you know, a woman or a guy, for crying out loud. Or a child. But it plagues the Catholic Church. It plagues them. Why can't it be brought out? Because it's Antichrist. It's not going to oppose. John Knox, yea, to speak it in plain words, lest we submit ourselves to Satan, thinking that we submit ourselves to Jesus Christ. For as for your Roman Kirk, as it is now corrupted, and the authority thereof, whereon stands the hope of your victory. The head thereof called the Pope to be the man of sin, whom the apostles speak. You can't admit Thomas Cranmer, John Calvin, oh, the Baptist Confession, the Westminster Confession, all the people that gave birth to the Reformation, they all recognized it and acknowledged it. What's happened? There's a falling away. You look at this in Daniel chapter 8. Really, like I told you, we're closing. And what a cheap counterfeit. Because when the Antichrist dies, they make an image on his name. He dwells in the body of this man. Guess what? The body's going to rot. What's going to be the expression and the extension of Antichrist? It's robotic. He gives life to the image. We are there. We're here. We're Antichrist. The church knows. You call it whatever you call it, singularity. You call it hybridization of humanoids and humans. You know, robotics, genetics. You call it whatever you want. We know where we're heading. Amen. Antichrist. Church knows. Amen. Daniel chapter 8. Let me show you this. Daniel 8. You could read the Daniel 8 and Daniel 11. Daniel 8, verse number 23. You know, the Bible talks about Daniel 9, where there's a prince that's coming. It's Jewish. Daniel chapter number 8. Makes a covenant with thy people. It's Jewish. Daniel chapter 8, verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to fulfill, there's a king of fierce countenance, understanding dark sentences. His power shall be mighty, not by his own power. He shall destroy wonderfully, prosper, practice, destroy the mighty and the holy people. He hates Jews. He hates God's people. He wears out the saints. He tries to prevail against the saints, not against the church, because nothing will prevail against the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So who's he prevailing against? Tribulation saints, not you and I. And through his policy he shall cause craft to prosper, and by peace he shall destroy many. He shall stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the Bible says in chapter 11, and then in 1 John we'll close, Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11, verse 20 to 23. Antichrist, the church knows. The Bible says, and after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people, minorities. He shall enter peaceably, peace, even upon the fattest places of the provinces. He shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers, spoil and riches. Verse 25, he shall stir up his power. Where does it say his the God of his fathers? Somebody find that for me real quick. He shall not honor the God of his fathers. I want you to see that. Anybody? Somebody punch it in? Nobody? I'm going to punch it in. Huh? Which chapter 11? Huh? 11:37. And the time and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. I shall be like the Most High. I shall be like God. And in Isaiah 14, when he identifies Lucifer, he says, that's the man? You think he's getting powerful? He's not. Lucifer, the dragon, ruler of the world, judged. That's a man? That's who we were afraid of? He's losing his power. He's not gaining it. And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. Look at verse 37. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. He's Jewish. He's the Antichrist. He's called the Assyrian in the book of Isaiah. Asher, the kingdom of Babylon. Antioch Epiphanes, his kingdom. That's what Daniel 11 is all about. It's about the northern kingdom. He's a type of Antichrist. What a tremendous historical prophecy in Daniel 11. But it's not fulfilled in Antioch. Jesus said, go to Daniel and study Daniel. And they go here and it's like, Antioch didn't fulfill this. But what you're seeing is he doesn't regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, and he will be vile. Vile is the adjective the Bible uses for homosexuality. So all of a sudden, Antichrist, the church knows. We understand BLM with the small people. Minorities. They're being used. We understand, you know, CRT and slavery. They're being used. 30 pieces of silver frees you from slavery. Antichrist brings you into slavery. We understand LBQT, whatever. Amen? We understand what's going on. The world, they're lost. Never mind the slippery, slimy slander and language of the Antichrist and the swamp creatures. Lost people are ignorant, blind, amen, deceived, trapped, being led down a path with a false covenant, a false Christ, a false system that can never bring peace. Never mind all these other uniting together. There's only one way. It's Jesus Christ, brethren. And so when he says in 1 John 4, when he's talking about Antichrist, and the Antichrist, they're trying to make you, they're trying to give you an alternative. And they give life to an image in 1 John chapter 4. We're closing. This is it. Thank you for your patience. I mean, you ever watch the movie, you know, The Wizard of Oz, and it's make-believe. And they're trying to get something they're lacking. You can't get what you're lacking until you know what you're lacking. You're lacking Christ, Jesus, as the Lord. 1 John chapter number 4. Excuse me. What does he say? Yeah. Look at verse 4. See the Antichrist? The spirit of Antichrist? It's already in the world in verse number 3. Now look what he interjects in Antichrist, the church knows. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So here comes this alternative concept of eternal life being presented to the world. Instead of eternal life, it's electric life. And he offers you this little Wizard of Oz counterfeit where it plugs in. I can love without a feeling, have a face very appealing, but I still don't have a soul. I can think I have a program. You may think that I am that I am, but I still don't have a soul. I would run 1,000 miles, laugh with 1,000 smiles, give praise to God all the whiles, if I only had a soul. That's what the devil can't give you. That's what he offers as a counterfeit. Electronic life versus eternal life. Amen? Listen, brethren, Antichrist, the church knows what? Jesus is coming again, I know. How? Because he promised in his word long ago. This is what he said. I come to take you home with me, that where I am, there ye may be also. Brethren, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Antichrist, we know. You may not agree to the things I brought out here, some of them. The majority of them, cut and dry. My interpretation of the passages of Scripture I gave you, putting them together, is right here. Say, what's that? Let's do the math. And then we leave. What's a V stand for in Roman numerals? There is no U, there's a V. What's F stand for? 50. No, F doesn't stand for 50. I is 1. What's L stand for? 50. 1-1. Every pope sworn into office is sworn as the vicarious, we call him the vicar of Christ, the vicarious son of God. He's a substitute representative of Christ on earth. Vicarious filii die. So that's 112, if I'm not mistaken, that's 53, and that's 501. I'm not saying I'm right, but if I am right, his name numerically has to add up to 666, regardless of who it is. And someday, Antichrist will merge with the religious arm and claim that title, because that's what he's after. All right. Are we good? Ma'am. Okay, Lord, bless your precious book in Christ's name. Amen. All right, brethren, thank you.